Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2025 Farmers Insurance Open down there in La Jolla, California. Hope you guys had a great week with the Amex and much more. We'll recap as much as we can of those events and get you ready for this week's PGA Tour action. You can find me on Twitter at BDentrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. Another Monday in the books here. Interesting weekend at the Amex is what I'll say. Seb Straka with the dub, some big names up there, and then some absolute trunk slams as usual. Any thoughts on the circus that is the Amex?
Not really. I think my biggest takeaway was William Mao.
Oh, good Lord.
Did you see that?
Yeah. How'd you miss it? It was, if you didn't see it live, you saw it everywhere else the next 48 hours.
Yeah, that was bizarre. I mean, like, I feel bad for the dude.
Yes.
It's just awful to happen on TV. It's just be the worst. But that's a tough hole. I mean, they did some redesigns on that hole, made it a little bit tougher. It's still 25 under par, wins the tournament. Probably about my least favorite tournament of the year. So congrats to Sepp Straka. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yep, Sepp held on. JT showed a little run, which was fun to see. Jay Day was up there, of course. And then like more interesting to me, I guess, was the Sung Jae-ims of the world going no-go on Sunday, I should say, because of his first round on the South Course just getting brutalized. That was rough. There's a handful of cuts that not ideal, but at least it was only one day to be cut. If all things considered, I guess.
Yeah.
But yes, not a whole lot else to be said in that world. But some of the big guys showed up. Some of the chalk showed up. But like I was telling Jesse before the show, I had some good lineups. Still only five of sixes in my 20 max. Not one 6 of 6. I got about half my money back this week after a good week at the Sony. TGL, we didn't talk about it enough last week. So the route is on twice now. That's my biggest deterrent of this thing.
Yes.
But Eldrick was on. He made his grand entrance to Eye of the Tiger, which was pretty electric, I guess. What were your thoughts on this, though? We saw Kisner hit the pole out of the sand trap and just dart it somewhere. But in reality, it's just utter dominance from Justin Rose's team out of LA, I believe.
Yeah. Team out of LA, it's like representing, you know, yes, it's yes. Always when I think of LA, I think of Justin Rose, you
exactly.
Know? And not Max Homa, who's on the other team.
Yes. Somehow. Yes. And like, yeah. And then you got the Jupiter boys. Yet somehow Justin Thomas isn't with his best buddy Tiger. Don't know where
yeah, but he has Kisner.
Yes, which someone made a good point that the teams were assigned like 2 years ago when Kiz was like actually still playing well. So Kiz is cashing in a nice check for a guy that might not have probably been in this mix beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame him, but it's gonna be nice to see a competitive match at some point. You know, 0-for-2 on that. Tiger airmailing greens was something. Yep. I only got to watch about the first half of it, and I really wasn't paying that good of attention because on another screen I had a Kentucky basketball game, which is way more important. And so it's kind of a little bit annoying that this is happening on Tuesday nights of all nights. But either way, I want it to succeed. I don't know if it will. I'm still on the fence as to whether or not it will. I enjoy watching it when it's on, but at the same time, like, we got to get some kind of good competition going here.
Yeah, I guess they're I guess it moves back to Mondays once football's over. So that should be happening soon, hopefully. So that'll be
much
a little
better day. It's Big 12 day. Nobody cares about the Big 12.
And that'll be better for guys to travel and not withdraw from golf tournaments as well. So that's a plus. But yeah, they got to figure out the competition. They got to figure out the technology because there's zero chance Tiger's 40 yards past the and they were talking about that after the first event, that things were off a little bit because guys are missing wedge shots, which these are some of the obviously best players in the world. You and me, I don't even think of going 40 yards past the green on a wedge.
Like, yeah, it's really difficult. I'm with you. Yeah. No. I mean, you know, from 100 yards, missing by 30 or 40 over the green is almost statistically impossible, especially for these guys. I mean, like, this doesn't happen. And you could tell Tiger was shocked when he did air mail it like he did on the first hole. Maybe it's a little bit of adrenaline. It is a different, you know, type of golf as far as you're surrounded by people and it's like you're in a stadium. So not what they're used to. So maybe potentially a little bit of that, but I don't know what else to say, but other than like, we got to get some like a legitimate competition and see how it goes from there.
Yeah. Let's hope so really soon, because like you said, I want it to work too. It'd be nice to have something different. Like we said last week, it'd be cool if, they have like there's rumors of LIV coming in, there's rumors of other areas coming into it type deal, so that'd be cool. On Tuesday evening we get New York, who's 0-1 because they got trucked by the Bay, I believe it was. That's Wyndham Clark's team, because when you think Wyndham Clark you think the Bay Area. They're gonna face Atlanta in their debut at the golf course, so that'll be good. The following Monday is Tiger's team versus Rory's team, so
that'll be must watch. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That'll be good, at least for the first half, till the hopefully blowout doesn't happen. Yeah. But yeah, like I can't even tell you who's like New York, I guess Ricky Fowler's team, I think, maybe. And then Atlanta. So we'll see how that goes. But yes, next Monday, Rory, Tiger. Let's get some eyes on the TV right there, folks. That's gonna be good. That's real good, especially after Pebbles. Well, see, that'll be interesting because that's Pebble, which is an elevated event. So it means a bunch of guys are going to be red eyeing it out of Monterey to get back to Jupiter, Florida for a golf tournament.
Yeah. I mean, if it's a Monday, yeah.
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 So, be fun to see how that logistically goes as well. But
yeah, that's why you need to build a place out in California. LA needs to go ahead and get their place built.
Yeah. At least, you know, some teams need to share locations. That'd be a start. Is that like practice facilities maybe, so not 40 yards over the green? I don't know. But get it dialed in, that's for sure. All right, we'll recap you guys next time, because I know you want to hear, because we do want it to work. So let's see how we can pick it apart and go from there. Other than that, though, let's get to the Farmers, which is one of the more heralded tournaments on tour. It's kind of, with all the elevated events and half the good golfers are gone these days, it's changed quite a bit, but to me, it's still Torrey Pines. I love Torrey Pines. Obviously, I'm biased. I got to actually play it a couple years ago, which was awesome. It's a cool course. La Jolla is beautiful, obviously. What do you got for this event of the Farmers Insurance Open? That, real quick, people don't forget, Thursday, Friday, we got two courses. So we got that fun again.
Wednesday, Thursday.
Yes. The event starts on Wednesday. Thank you, Jesse, for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because the PGA Tour is smart enough to know we're not going up against conference title Sunday. Smart.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, it is intelligent. One of the few smart things they've done over the last few years. Last year, Matthew Pavon was the winner, 13 under, one shot over Højgaard. 2023 was Max Homa, 13 under, two shots over Keegan. 2022 was Luke List, 15 under in a playoff over Zalatoris. 2021 was Patrick Reed, 14 under, five shots over Finau Hovland, Norlander, Palmer, and Schauffele. Mark Leishman won in 2020, 15 under, one shot over John Rahm. 2019 was Justin Rose, 21 under, two shots over Adam Scott. Jason Day has won this twice. And that's pretty much all you need to know.
Yeah, we've got plenty of history here, and the kind of what you need to know, the gist of the courses, and you'll get it. It's, you got the marine layer because you're on the ocean, and it's almost like you go out to the ocean and come in. It's like a normal ocean course, but like I can visualize it in my head. You'll finish coming inland towards the clubhouse, of course, but you'll get some really cool. It's holes like 3 through 8, or give or take, on top of my head. At least on the south course is on the water. Very, very long. That's one thing you're going to hear here. It's one of the longer. It's over 7,800 yards, par 72. So you don't get that on a lot of golf courses these days. When you're also looking at the South Course, okay, it's a little less than 78. I thought it was up to 78 now. But Reese Jones came and redesigned it. You got greens that are about 5,000 to 5,500 square feet. So smaller or shorter on the smaller side of things around there. Water doesn't come into a lot of holes unless you're just slicing or hooking it into the ocean. Like you got to just destroy yourself there. Most of the hazards that take place here is called the 4-inch rough. That is what's going to get you. The fairways are very narrow, so you have to be very accurate, and it's a lot of long irons because the accuracy might take some guys out of the driver situation, which puts you at even longer, obviously. Greens are pretty fast. That's the other part that makes it fun, POA greens. Those can be very, very tricky as well. You'll have a thing you'll probably hear. Play a drinking game if you want. They'll talk about the Barranca that takes place in the course. It's right in the middle. It's where all the drainage takes place for the golf course. That's where you'll lose balls more than you will the water. Let's put it that way. If it goes there, a lot of bunkers, a lot of strategic bunkers, either in the fairway, especially around the green. So it's not just the rough around the green because you'll have your 4-inch rough, but even like the fringe can get you at times there. It's a very shot dependent golf course. That's why the scoring is much lower, as Jesse mentioned. The north course on the flip side is little less than 7,300 yards. So it's about 500 yards shorter than the south course. Fairways are still rather narrow, but not crazy. The rough is still 4 inches, so it's thick. Greens are bigger, though. The greens are a little slower, still quick, but get it and get it good. The par fives are all very gettable on the north course. The par threes are all over 200 yards, though, so you still need that long iron play. But the gist of it is you need to find the fairways, avoid the rough, because it's literally like a stroke penalty if you find the rough. It's going to take you out of it unless you're Bryson and can do crazy stuff out of the rough. You're going to get a stroke. I say a half a stroke to a stroke on average is what you're going to be losing out there. So find the fairways, long iron play, scramble would be the best thing I can say, and see what happens. But what do you like for stats on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think scrambling, distance matters in this because it's the golf course is so long. This is definitely a much more legitimate test for these guys versus the last 3 weeks of resort courses that they've played. So, you know, Torrey's hosted U.S. Opens in the past, correct?
Yes, yeah. 21 and like five or early 2000s.
Yeah, it's not going to be U.S. Open difficulty, but it will be much more difficult in the last few weeks. And so typically when you you'll see the cream rise to the top, which is why, you know, guys like John Rahm have won, Patrick Reed, Jason Day, when he was playing really well. But yeah, distance definitely matters this week. So I got that weighted pretty heavily.
Yep. Fair enough on that one. All right. With all of that being said, we've got a bunch of withdrawals already, so keep an eye on that. Some of them came out early enough, though. DK didn't even put him in the pool. That was a plus. Ash K is still in the pool. He's gone. Keep that in mind. There might be more to come. We'll see. But kicking things off, we have four players in 10K and above, which is rare these days, Jesse. Ludwig is 10.8. Hideki, 10.7. Finau, 10.2. Sungjae, 10,000, all have very good history here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing here. You're kind of picking apart the, you know, just needling these guys a little bit to try to get differences. It's hard not to play Hideki. He's played here a lot, hasn't missed a cut here since 2019, which does include the 2021 U.S. Open, and obviously won the Century 3 weeks ago now, and played Hawaii at the Sony Open, finished 16th there. So I would say Hideki's probably my top choice up here. Obear is definitely playable 100%. Sungjae would be my third choice. And then Tony, I'm just not really a big Tony guy ever, so probably wins, but he's got pretty good course history as well. I mean, it's just, you know, pick your poison. And I do think this is a week where getting one of these guys is probably going to be optimal.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, I've heard Ludwig mentioned a lot already, and it makes a ton of sense. You're talking about a guy that can drive the golf ball very well distance-wise and accuracy-wise. Approach plays very, very solid. We know he can hang with the best of them. So I like Ludwig a lot this week. Hideki has course history, and this is form coming in. He wins the century, plays really well at Sony. When we talk approach game and iron play, like over the last 24 rounds, he's third in this field from 175 to 200. A lot of shots are coming in that little bucket there. He's sixth in DK scoring, so I like Hideki a lot as well. Finau and Sungjae coming off from really, really rough weeks, but if you wanted to just like say, like, you know, golf can change on a moment's notice, and obviously different golf courses as well. And Sungjae did play better outside of the stadium course, of course, because that's how it works over there at the Amex. But Sungjae's also, he's third in the longer par fours, his approach game. He's like a top 20 in most approach categories. He's also 14th in bogey avoidance, which is very important at this course. So I don't mind going to Sungjae. He's sixth in my model, even with the poor week last week. So if you want to try to look at a kind of maybe contrarian play, don't mind some Sungjae. But yeah, it's Hideki, it's Ludwig for me. I kind of lean Ludwig on this one, but I think you're grasping at straws. Either one are really, really good. I think one of these days Ludwig's going to win one of these bigger tournaments. This feels like a great spot for him to do so. 9K range. Got Keegan at $9,900. Max Gracerman at 97. The price tag keeps going up for Mad Max. Willie Z at 95. Jason Day at 93. Sahith at 91. And Shane Lowry making his continental debut at $9,000. And Shane was great at the TGL, by the way. What's your thoughts on the 9K range?
This is a very loaded range here. It's a very top heavy event, but it's pick your poison again. Keegan hasn't missed a cut here since 2017. Grazerman hasn't finished outside the top 25 in the last four events that he's played. He hasn't finished outside the top 30 in the last five, top 33 in his last six. Pretty insane run for him there. Zalatoris coming off a pretty good week last week. He finished inside the top 20. I think he finished like around 15th. None of our models have loaded the past event or last week's tournament results yet. So terrific. Zalatoris finished 12th, actually tied for 12th. My favorite play is going to be Jason Day. One, because I've seen Zalatoris' name all over Twitter already today. So I think an excellent pivot off of him is Jason Day at 9,300. He did miss the cut here last year, but before that was 7th, 3rd, missed cut 16th, 5th, 1st, and then also won it in 2016. And he's coming off, you know, a really good performance for him last week, tied for 3rd at the Amex. You know, he played the century, didn't, you know, finish 40th, not great, but that's the main guy that I really like amongst all these other guys who are very, very playable. Yes. So he's just the one that I'm putting the fire mark next to. So,
yeah, the big decision this week, or one of the big decisions this week, is do you play a 10K guy with a 9K and go bargain basement? Do you skip the 9K with the 10K guy, or you go two 9K guys? That's kind of where, because they're all very formidable. Like, you can make a case for most people 9K and above, you could see winning this event. Like, can Grazerman win? The way he's playing, I wouldn't say no. It would be a surprise potentially, but then so was Matthew Pavon last year. So you can't just count him out. Like, Grazerman's 13th in my model. He's first in putting over the last 24 rounds. He's first in bogey avoidance. He's first in DK scoring. He's third from 200 plus, which I mentioned pretty much all the par threes are. He's 17th in the long par fours, 9th in the longer par fives, which is most like he's 16th in driving distance. Like, dude just rates out beautifully. Given a lot of those events were false swing events, he still has played well here to start the year. Keegs is playing good, and he plays really well on these kind of grind them out golf courses. He always does. He might be one of the odd men out in this 9K range, just based on what you said and what I'm going to say. But you can't just ignore Key if you're doing, like, if I'm doing my 20 max, I'll have a couple Keegans out there just because he is that good, and he wouldn't shock me if he makes a run. But I like Max a lot. Willie Z will be interesting and very popular. I'm with you. I like Jason Day too. Past history here is awesome. Played really well at the Amex. Rates out horribly in the model, like horribly. So hopefully that deters people, honestly. But $9,300 for a guy that's done it here before and coming in pretty good form, don't hate that at all. And then Shane Lowry is like kind of the way I feel about Keegan. I feel about Shane. Like, again, he's played over in Abu Dhabi. He's play in other, like he played a lot of Euro events. But Shane's a guy that it feels like if he's going to win, it's a lower scoring event, which this is, kind of fits his mold. He's fifth in bogey avoidance is what we're looking for as well. A lot of it with him is, can his irons keep up with what he does? Cause he doesn't drive the ball that far. So can his long irons keep up with maybe not the longest driving situation? That's where Shane Lowry kind of doesn't fit the mold as much, but we've also seen him win big boy events, and I wouldn't be shocked if he's continuing come Sunday at the same time. So, like, I'm not locking Shane Lowry in. I just wanted to mention he could be a phenomenal pivot in this range, like a huge pivot where most people probably go Max, Will, probably even Jason, if we really want to say that. So I think Shane can be a big, big pivot in that range. 8K range, you got Mav McNeely at 89, Pendrith at 88, Kurt Kitayama at 87, Max Homa 86, Luke Clanton at 85, Siwoo Kim at 84, Aaron Rye at 83, Ben Griffin at 81, Bo Hostler and Harry Hall at 8,000. Fun range of a lot of guys coming in some pretty, pretty good form.
Yeah, for sure. Like, start with Pendrith there. He's made the last three cuts at this event, finished ninth here last year, and hasn't missed a cut since May. And I mean, no wins, but a bunch of top fives, a bunch of top tens for Pendrith. So I do like him. Max Homa, who was a past champion just a couple of years ago, finished 13th here last year in a year where you could really say that was a down year for Max. So I do like Max quite a bit at this 86 number. Aaron Ride, 83. He's 3 out of 3 made cuts at this event. His best finish was 6th in 22, finished 33rd here last year, coming off a 15th place finish over in Hawaii. And then Harry Hall, I mean, the problem with Harry Hall is he's 0 of 3 made cuts at this event. However, Harry Hall has never come into this event playing as good as he is right now. He finished last week, tied for 21st.
Like T14.
Yeah. And then 10th, 8th, 14th, 13th, 9th. I mean, in his last six events, it's just incredible. I mean, like him and Grazerman, they're basically playing the same golf, except for you get a huge discount of $8,000 on Harry Hall. So he'll be popular again, but for good reason, in my opinion. Even though, like I said, course history sucks, so maybe that scares some people off. But
yeah, you'd imagine the course history scares people off, but it's a great point that, like, the form he's coming in and the same form Max is coming in at, you're going to get him at a discount like that. That's $1,700 goes a long ways when you're building a lineup. So definitely something to consider on that one. For me, Mav McNeely at $8,900. You know, he's ninth in the longer par fours, fifth in DK scoring. He's just really good off the tee. We know he can putt, especially on POA greens. He's a California boy coming in here with the 45th at the Sony, 8th at the Century, and the fall swing at first at the RSM, 17th, 6th. So finished the year really strong as well. And recent history here, 37th, 34th, 1st, 30th, missed cut 15th. So 3 straight made cuts, 4 out of 5. Maybe can make a run for it here. Love Pendrith for what you mentioned. You mentioned his history here, which is great. But one thing I always love about Pendrith is on longer courses, the dude can pipe it. 9th in driving distance. Accuracy is hit and miss. But when he's on, he can really get it going. And it's one of those things, like I made the Bryson joke, is if you can crush it, being out of the rough isn't as bad. It's bad, but not as bad, because you are closer to the green and can make some magic happen. Over the last 24 rounds, he's 4th in DK scoring as well. So I do like him quite a bit. He's more of a GPP player, though. Just keep that in mind. But could definitely see him in the top 10, if not top 5, when things are all said and done. Kurt Kitayama is the one I keep staring at since I loaded my model. He's 1st in my model. And at first, I'm like, how? But then you look at the statistics I have in my model. He's 1st in this field over the last 24 rounds of the longer par 5s. He's 16th in the longer par fours. He's 1st from 175 to 200. He's 2nd in 200 plus. He's 2nd in bogey avoidance. These are all the things you want at this golf course. So Kitayama to $8,700. If you look at his past history here, didn't play last year. Missed cut. Again, not quite to the level of Harry Hall. This is a different Kurt Kitayama now than we saw in those previous years. So Kitayama at 87, I like. Max Homa at 86. Yeah, it's been a rough go for Max, but I'm not going to completely write him off. Coming back to a course he knows he can play really well. 26th of the Century. Yeah, smaller field, but good to see him getting going. Got 27th of the Zozo. We're not paying a premium for Max anymore. $8,600. I don't mind going back to him. Siwoo's got good history here. You mentioned Hall. I'll mention Ben Griffin also, though. He's 18th in my model. He's great in the long iron, 8th in the field in 200+. Really good DK score. He holed one out the other day, which was fun to see. At the Amex, he
– talking about Ben Griffin holing out? Did you see his shot before that?
Where he shanked it?
Yeah, or he topped it. But yeah.
Yeah, and with all that being said, he still finished 7th last week at 19 under par.
Golf is so stupid.
It's a great – that's why we keep playing it, unfortunately, because you get that one shot that keeps you coming back. Mm-hmm. Missed cut here last year, 31st the year before. Coming in, he had a great fall swing, good start to the season. So I like Ben Griffin as well at $8,100. So that's why I said it'll be fun watching ownership over the next couple days since it starts on Wednesday morning. We only got a couple days for ownership, but I could foresee a lot of people taking a 10K guy and jumping down here and going like a Homa, Griffin, Hall, or something in that weird regards. And that could change the ownership up, and that'll determine a lot of things. But fun range and a loaded field, as we mentioned. 75 to 79, you got J.J. Spahn, Thomas Dietrich, Mark Hubbard, Stephen Yeager, Doug Gim, Austin Eckroat, Daniel Berger, Justin Rose, Nicholas Hogard Mullen. That's not Nikolai Hogard, is it?
No, no, Norgard. It's Nicholas Norgard Muller.
Because half the names cut off on my screen here. Mac Messner, Patrick Rogers, Patrick Fishbird, and Matt Wallace. Things are getting a little different as we get in the 7K range.
Yeah, I have no idea how he's in this tournament. I'm talking about Nicholas Norgard Muller because the last start I have for him is February of 2024 at the Bahrain Championship.
Some kind of sponsor's exemption is the only thing I can think of.
I guess he was playing nothing but Euro Tour events for that. So for me, Dietrich at 7,900, 20th, 37th in his last two starts. At this event, he definitely has the length. Yeager is sneaky long as well, and he finished third here last year, coming off a third-place finish at the Sony Open. Justin Rose, past champion, had been playing the European Tour and the SoFi Tour, whatever it's called, the indoor shit we were just talking about.
TGL.
Thank you, TGL. Thank you. You know, he's made his last three cuts at this event. Like I said, he won 2019, so I think Justin Rose is very playable at 7,600. And then last for me, Mac Messner at 7,500. He missed the cut here last year, but three straight top 40s for him, four straight top 40s, three straight top 27s. So I think Mac is definitely playable. I don't know if he played...
He played last week. I'll get you his.
Did or he didn't?
He did. He was cheap as heck.
I don't have him on.
I swore. Maybe he didn't. I thought he did. But yeah, he's not coming up on the leaderboard either. So yeah, apologies.
Yep. So, yep. That's where I'm at in that range.
All right. For me, JJ Spahn at 79. I always have a tough time playing JJ. I always get him wrong. Let's put it that way. But he finished.
Me too. Third. That's why I unchecked him.
Yeah. He finished third at the Sony. Well, thank you then. And he finished third at the Sony Open, finished 21st last week at 14 under par at the Amex. But then it's miscut, 34th, miscut, 30th at this event. And the reason I have a tough time playing JJ is I don't consider him a bomber. He's 47th in the field, so he's above average. It's 156 golfers or whatever, depending on how many withdrawals we've had now. He's 17th in bogey avoidance. He's mediocre at finding the fairway. He's 35th in DK points. So it's like for a tournament play, he doesn't light the world on fire, if that makes sense. He's playing much better golf towards the end of the year here, which gets me a little interested in him. I'd rather play Tomas Dietrich at $7,900. His history here, he's coming in good form. I think a lot of people will, and that's why I want to bring up JJ Spahn again, because he's between Hall and Dietrich. So that becomes somewhat interesting come tournament time. Mark Hubbard at $7,800, though. I love him in birdie fest, and he proved us right recently. Finished 21st at the Sony Open after a really good fall swing there. And last week at the Amex, Hubbard finished – where'd he go? Why isn't it going to – he finished tied for 11th at 17 under par. So I like that a bit with Hubbard, but let's look at recent form, 20th last year. So not bad for $7,800 for Mark Hubbard. Jaeger bombs, I'm with you 100%. Played great here last year. Guy that can pipe the golf ball. Coming in pretty good form. So I like him at 78. Doug Gim's got good history here. So is Austin Eckroat. Eckroat having a good fall swing as well. Don't mind them. And then You mentioned Fishburne. He's 12th in my model. Don't hate that. He's definitely a GPP, though. It's been he's imploded at least once of late. So keep that in mind. And I'm going to bring it up before you ask me. Patrick Rogers is 24th in my model. He's 10th in the big par five score, and he's pretty much middle of the pack everywhere else. But what I want to bring up with him, this is why it's a fun tournament play. The last five events here, T9, miscut. T62, miscut. T9. So that's almost like the Nick Taylor profile I mentioned 2 weeks ago, where it's if he makes the cut, you're gold. If he misses the cut, well, he missed the cut.
Yeah.
He's coming in with a missed cut at the Sony, but then 17th at the RSM, 9th, 24th, 67th. So he finished the fall swing pretty well. And last week he missed the cut, 6 under par. He went 3 over at the Stadium course on Saturday to ruin that hopes and dreams. But P-Rodge in a tournament, I would understand sprinkling in a couple lineups in a 20 max. Let's put it that way. 7K to 74. Who you liking here, Jesse?
Charlie Hoffman, 7,400. He was leading last week for a long time. Ended up finishing fifth. Pretty solid for him. He usually doesn't start playing good golf until the Waste Management. But he's played here a lot. 56th, miscut. 57th, WD. 9th, miscut. 35th. I mean, just up and down. Kind of sounds like Patrick Rogers, but just without the good finishes. So I think he's playable. Vegas missed the cut last week. But he's played here enough. And was playing obviously pretty well, you know, over in Hawaii. Alex Smalley at 7,300, 2 out of 3 made cuts. He did miss the cut here last year, but coming off a 16th place finish at the Sony Open. And I don't, yeah, he did play, he played last week and finished 11th. Sam Stevens, 7,300, 2 out of 2 made cuts at this event. Gary Woodland, I think, is very interesting. You know, this is a guy who's won a U.S. Open on the West Coast. Seems like forever ago. I don't even remember what year that was, but it seems like 10 years ago, but I know it's not that long. 16th, his last time out at the Sony Open. And, I mean, his best finish here is 9th in 2019. He missed the cut here last year. However, you know, if Gary Woodland gets it figured out at 7,200, that would be a steal there. Pavon at 7,200, defending champion, coming off a 48th his last time out this century. I don't think, yeah, he didn't play last week. So, I mean, you got the defending champion there at 7,200. And then Norlander at 7,000. Back-to-back missed cuts at this event for him, but he finished second in 2021. His very, very sketchy GPP play only, but, you know, potentially could make the cut at 7,000 there and pay off for you.
All right, for me, I'm back on the Johnny Vegas train at 74. He's 33rd in my model, 4th in driving distance, missed cut last week, hopefully lowers the ownership because he was coming in really good form. He's played well here before. If he can just find the fairways, he'll be in business. It's just a matter of finding the fairways, of course. I have Alex Smalley down here. Like you mentioned, the form and the history is good. He's 5th in my model. He's 5th on the par 5, longer par 5s, 4th from 200 yards plus, 16th in bogey avoidance. I like some Smalley. Got Stevens checked off for all the reasons you mentioned as well. Taylor Moore is another one of these tournament plays. $7,300, 98th in my model. Not great. Recent form for Taylor Moore is – where did he go? Missed cut at the Sony, 35th at the RSM, missed cut 11th, 11th at the Zozo. But when you want to have some more fun with it, at this event, 70th last year, 11th the year before, and a missed cut. So he's shown a little bit of decent history here at $7,300. Justin Lauer is playing phenomenal golf at $7,300. I don't mind him. Great on the par fives. From 175 to 200, he's awesome. 17th in this field, 12th in bogey avoidance. So Lauer at 73, he was too cheap last week. Got a price increase in a better field. Says a lot to me. One that I'm curious to see ownership on is one Rico Hoey, because Rico continues to play really, really good golf. This past week, Rico Hoey finished 33rd, 10. He was 10 under. He was 4 over on Sunday. So didn't finish as strong as you'd hope for, but 59th, 17th, 45th, 22nd, just continues to make cuts is what Rico Hoey does. Missed the cut here last year in his debut. So $7,200. Could be interesting. Got Hoey and Lauer both getting price bumps, which is something you don't see very often. Michael Kim at $7,200, 8th in my model. He's first from 200 yards plus, mediocre in 175 to 200, 13th in bogey avoidance, really good on the longer par fours. When you look at Michael Kim a little deeper here, I missed cut at the Sony, but then an 11th, 12th, 30th to finish out the fall swing. And in this field, 37th here last year, 44th the year before, 53rd. Those three straight made cuts, improving every time around. Coming in potentially the best form he's been in a while. So Michael Kim at 72. Don't mind Carson Young at 71. Lee Hodges at 7,000. Another guy playing really good golf. And then I had Norlander as well at 7,000. He's 19th in my model. He's second from 175 to 200. He's seventh in the longer par fours. And you mentioned his current form. His past history here is not great. Three out of four missed cuts, but the one make, T2. So pick your poison on that one, but coming in really, really good form. All right, Jesse, 6K range. Who do you like?
Start with Luke List, man. I'm really surprised he's this well. All right, let's start with one more before that. Adam Schenck, he withdrew last week with back spasms. Just put that in air quotations.
Yes.
he shot 74 on Thursday, and it was at the Pete Dye course, but I'm pretty sure he probably knew that
you're gone.
Yeah, that there's no chance after that, and didn't feel like sticking around to play two more rounds with amateurs. So he withdrew. The last 3 years here, he's been 25th, 20th, and 56th. So and he was sixth at the Sony Open. So he played really good golf the week before. So take that, you know, as you will. GPP only, obviously. Luke List at 6,800. Like I said, I'm surprised he's this low price wise. He hasn't missed a cut at this event since before 2018. I don't have anything back further than that. So 50th, 25th, 1st, 10th, 36th, 40th, 12th since 2018. Coming off a missed cut last week on the number, by the way. 8 under was the cut, obviously, after 3 days. And then 72nd at the Sony Open in Hawaii. Jake Knapp's got the length. He finished third here last year. This is, I think, where he kind of burst onto the scene a little bit. So good vibes for him. Nate Lashley also third here last year, 37th over in Hawaii at the Sony, and missed the cut on the number last week. And then Jeremy Paul, I don't know, for some reason the model likes him. He's never played here. Played the Sony Open, finished 45th, played before that. It was a long time before in between rounds that I have for him on there, but he does smash the ball, averaging 314 yards off the tee. So yeah, that's where I'm at in the 6K range.
All right, first guy for me, Joseph Bramlett. He feels like the Lauer of this week. Seventh in my model, he's $6,900. He's third around the greens, mentioned scrambling. He's 12th in driving distance, 14th from 200 plus, 45th in bogey avoidance at 69. That's actually not bad. And then tournament history, 25th, 13th, 67th, 6th, or 18th, 45th. So at least five straight made cuts at this event for Bramlett. And he hasn't played in the fall swing unless he played this past weekend. Give me 1 second. I do not have him play this past weekend. But finishing the year 35th at the RSM, 29th, 58th. So Bramlett's playing well. And at $6,900, I will go back to that well with him. Sam Ryder at 68, GPP only. He's like mixed results here. It's every other year. He almost won it that 1 year. It's like 21st, missed cut, 5th, 30th. So 3 out of 4 cuts, 30th or better. Not bad at $6,800. Recent form is very wishy-washy. Vincent Lorman is another one at $6,800 in a tournament. I heard his name already, though, so I don't know, but 3,700, T37 last year when he played here, and his recent form is a 56th year last year, 44th the year before, 37th of the Sony is what I meant to say. So I don't mind Norman in that regard. I like List as well. Ryu, our buddy, $6,800. Another guy that coming in 65th of the Sony, 17th RSM, made a handful of cuts before that. If we look at, I don't have his finishing position. No, didn't get anything from that. But at this event for Ryu, he finished 33rd here last year in his debut. So he's another guy I don't mind looking at. Matty Schmid's playing really good golf. If you want to go there, I got Jake Knapp as well. Nick Hardy at 66 is another golfer that at this event. Where did he go? You know, 37th last year, 44th the year before. So he'd be one to look at. Hayden Springer's got some good history here as well. And then one of my kind of like favorite, just throw a dart tournament looks here. Taylor Montgomery at $6,500 rates out horribly, rates out really, really bad at this event though. 13th, 31st, 11th, the last 3 years, he shows up at the Farmers. He's also coming in with a 65th of the Sony, 42nd the RSM, 64th of the WWT, which means he's at least making cuts. And then he comes here. He missed the cut last week, I should say. Finished 10 under. How was he 10 under and missed the cut? That can't be right. Whatever. But loves this golf course. So Taylor Montgomery at 65 is a guy I wouldn't mind throwing a dart at for sure. All right, let's recap things. Jesse, 10K and above. Who you got?
Hideki.
I'll take Ludwig. 9K.
Jason Day.
I'll go with Max, Mad Max. 8K range.
Harry Hall.
I'm going to go Pendrith, 75 to 79.
Justin Rose.
This is where it gets a little trickier for me. I will go with Jaeger Bombs, 7K to 74.
I'm going to say Pavone.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I got to go look more into him. I guess not having that Euro data kills me every time. For this range, I'm going to go Johnny Vegas, going back to the well there, 6K range.
Luke List.
Taylor Montgomery. Let's go $6,500 long shot here. All right. If you're playing cash this week, which you technically can, where would you start things out, Jesse?
I've got Hall, Jaeger, and Rose.
I think that's very, very fair. I would go with Ben Griffin, Harry Hall, and Harry Rose is probably the best play there. I'm going to take two of your three also. Tournaments, though, where are you starting out?
Hideki, Day, and Luke List.
I'm going to go Taylor Pendrith, Kurt Kitayama, and Johnny Vegas. You can decide how high or low you like to go in those. All right, my friend, takes us to the moment. Who do you have, or who do you like to win this? What bets are you looking at this week?
So what losers? I got Luke List at 170-1, Justin Rose at 60, and then Jason Day at 25.
Dude, I wish they had not to top 20 odds, because right now there are three golfers with negative odds to top 20 right now. I guess it's golf, folks. I'll take my odds on that stuff.
Yeah, I would too. I'd take the plus money. I'm with you.
Yeah, that's wild. Especially in a field of 156. This isn't like 130 golfers. Like, that's right. A lot of people.
Yeah.
All right, so T20, like Justin Rose is plus 225. Interesting. Jaeger Bombs at plus 230 I like a lot to top 20, because I feel like if he makes the weekend, he's contending type thing. So plus 230 for Jaeger is one. There's a loaded amount here. Taylor Moore has been a top 20 machine here when he does it. I like Justin Lauer at plus 300 would be one. Pavon's plus 350 if you like him. That's not bad for the defending champion. But yeah, Lauer at plus 300 is some pretty good top 20 odds. And let's find a long shot here. Let's find a guy I mentioned a second ago. Where did he go? Your boy Shanks plus 500 to top 20.
Yeah, man, that's not a terrible bet.
Luke List is plus 500 to top 20. These are fun. Jake Knapp's plus 600. Holy shnikes, this is way better than recent weeks. You could definitely make some noise here. But I'll give you one more. Let me find the guy I was looking for, because his odds probably suck. Where did he go? I was just control F, Bubba. This will be a lot easier for the listeners there. There he is. Yeah, it's only plus 140, but I really – number one guy in my model, Kurt Kitayama, is plus 140. I just feel like he's there, Pendrith plus 150. So if you want to go shorter odds, Ben Griffin plus 185. I like all those, but if you want to go deeper, I mentioned some already. All right, Jesse, final thoughts before we wrap up the Farmers. We go to Pebble Beach next week for a signature event.
Yeah. Yep, I don't. Good luck.
Yep, good luck, everybody. Hope you guys enjoy the TGL on Tuesday night. Hopefully New York can make a comeback. And the first time we get to see Atlanta, just pray for a close outing. That would be awesome. Before next week's barn burner. I actually am going to try to make a point to watch that. That'll be fun. But between Eldrick and Rory, that'll be good. Yeah. But until next time. Check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. And I'm at BD Intrick. This is your 2025 Farmers Insurance Open Preview. Catch y'all next time.